Today we'll be looking in Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17, and the title of today's message will be God's Bow. Beginning in verse 8 of Genesis 9, it says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth, with you from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." We have saw that God spared Noah and all of his family and brought them through the flood of God's judgment and wrath upon the earth, and God brought him safely through the storm. And everybody else and everything else was destroyed. The only one that was spared was Noah and his family. And the reason that God spared Noah was, we have saw that it said that Noah found grace in God's sight. Everyone else died. Everyone else perished. And here we see that God told Noah that he would establish his covenant with him. I know if you noticed, I don't remember how many times it's mentioned just in these few verses. God mentions the word covenant. Then he mentioned the everlasting covenant. And he said he would establish the covenant. And the word establish means that he would make it firm and it would be fixed. God's going to start over with Noah. Noah and his three sons and his daughters-in-law and his wife are the only ones left upon the earth. Noah, like Adam, would be the head of the human race. God kept Noah in the ark a while after that it rested on Mount Ararat. And even this is grace. We don't know exactly how long that he stayed there, but it was some time after that God brought Noah out of the ark. Because you can imagine all those rotten corpses and all that death that was upon this earth when the flood began to recede. But here comes Noah out of the ark. And the first time you can imagine that he saw a cloud come up after he came out of the ark, can you imagine he would probably be terrified? He probably thought, well, here we go again. God's gonna see in judgment again. But today we want to look at that God made a promise. God made a covenant with Noah that he would not destroy the earth again by flood. Now we know that he says that one day that he'll destroy it by fire. And the sin which drowned the first world will burn the one that we live in now. But he promises never to destroy it again by flood. Noah was just as wicked as everybody else that perished. It was not that Noah was any better. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God's people today experience the same feelings that Noah did. We are sinners like everybody else. And why does God not destroy us? We see men every day die. They die without Christ. They die lost. They die under the wrath and judgment of God. They leave this world and die without Christ. Well, why does God spare us? I'll tell you why. Just like he told Noah, God made an everlasting covenant. But what is a covenant? A covenant is a promise from God. God made the covenant. This is what the covenant was. This is what God said he would do or wouldn't do. This was God's doing. God takes the initiative. God says, I will establish my covenant with you, Noah. And today, this is what I want us to look at. This covenant, this promise that God made with Noah. God says, I will not destroy the earth again by flood. Now, we've seen many floods come upon the earth just since I've been living. But they've never been a worldwide flood. And there never will be another worldwide flood. You said, how do you know that? God made a promise. Men are just as wicked as they were in the days of Noah. Why doesn't God destroy them now with the flood? He promised that he wouldn't. God made a covenant promise of mercy. That's mercy. To never do it again. Now, that's mercy. We deserve it just like they did. We deserve to perish just like they did. Noah deserved to perish just like everybody else did. But why didn't he? Mercy. Mercy. Thank God for his mercy. His mercy endures forever. Like I say, can you imagine first time Noah saw a cloud? Well, oh, it's going to rain again and God's going to destroy us again. We're just as wicked. But God gave Noah a token. What was this token? The rainbow in the sky, which is a symbol of God's faithfulness, a symbol of God's promise, a symbol of God's mercy that Noah could see. And he would be reminded, God is faithful to his promises. We make promises and we can't keep them. We hope we can. God makes promises, and they're based upon God's faithfulness to his promises. The Bible says, God who cannot lie. There are rainbows because God is merciful to sinners. The rainbow is a picture of the gospel, which is Christ himself. Christ is the messenger of the covenant. He's the blessings, all the blessings of the covenant are wrapped up in him, and his blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. What does that mean? It'll never end. Never change. Why? God doesn't change. God may have said, just think for a minute, if God says, okay, I think I'll just change my mind. I promised him, but I think I'll renege on my promise, and I think I'll just go ahead and destroy everybody. Let me send another flood. No, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's the one that promised, and it's based upon his faithfulness to himself and to his promise and his faithfulness to his people. So today I want us to look at God's bow, a token of God's covenant. So let's first look at the covenant. The covenant. God made this covenant with Noah and his sons and the earth. Noah stood as Adam did, as the head of the human race. Noah is the living heir. He's the only living heir. Everybody else perished. God starts over with Noah like he did Adam. He said, go forth and replenish the earth. Everybody else, everything else is dead. And given the rainbow, God ratified the promise that he had made. He displayed it. The bow in the cloud was not only to assure Noah and to assure man that no more would the earth be destroyed by flood, but it was also a memorial of the new relationship with God. That covenant, God made this covenant with Noah. God was in a relationship with Noah based on God's faithfulness. Noah had no claims whatsoever on God, and man has no claims upon God, any more than a cup has any claim upon the potter that made it. Listen, God gave man life, and God continues to keep man in life. And man is dependent upon God for every breath he has. Why? In mercy. People blaspheme God, they curse God with every breath, and God gives them the breath to do it.
Why didn't he destroy them? Mercy. Every day that they're out of hell, every day that they're spared one more day, mercy. But God is pleased. Now listen to this statement. But God has pleased to bind himself by voluntary agreement called covenants in order that man may learn that God is full of grace and may serve him with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for sparing us one more day. God, thank you, God, for giving us life one more day. God made a covenant with Adam and to give him all blessings that he did not merit in himself. It's not merit, it's grace. Now, the world had undergone the judgment of God. And God makes a covenant with Noah and creation, and he confirms it by a sign. If you give him this token, he who by justice should have destroyed was moved by love and grace to give pardon and promise instead of wrath. What grace! This covenant was an unconditional covenant. It wasn't based on what Noah would do. It wasn't based upon what Noah's sons would do. It was conditioned. The only condition was upon the promise of God. He didn't say, now, Noah, as long as you straighten up and don't live like those people lived before the flood, well, then I won't send one. Well, that wouldn't have lasted long. God just said, no, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to be merciful. And my bow in the sky is a token of that fact. No, I'm going to be merciful to you. It is sure and a comforting testimony that the fact that there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I will not destroy you. You're going to deserve it just like everybody else did. You deserve to be destroyed. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, it says, God says, I will destroy all men. And here in chapter 9, he says, I will not destroy man. I will not. I will remember verse 15, my covenant. And I may remember verse 16, I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. This is the one difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. There's no conditions. If there was any conditions to meet, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. Because we can't meet any condition. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Everybody that has ever lived deserved to perish under God's wrath. Noah was not any better. Noah found grace, and God made this covenant of mercy and grace with Noah. The problem with the old covenant was that the people could not honor it. The promise of the new is that Christ did honor the old. He met all the conditions. He met all the requirements. And so the sinner is blessed unconditionally in Christ. That's grace. Unconditional. No conditions. Okay, so let's look at the bow. Everybody's probably has saw a rainbow, so you know what I'm talking about and what this scripture speaks of. Something about this bow. It is a half circle. It's 180 degrees. And that's a picture like when God saves a man, he turns him 180 degrees. It's like an arch on a bridge. And I know some have probably drove over it or actually saw it, that New River Gorge Bridge. It is an arch. It's a bow. Like a bridge, it enables us to pass from one place to another. That great gulf that is fixed between God and man, this bridge goes over that gulf. And it unites, he's the mediator between God and man. It stands as a bridge. It spans earth to heaven. From darkness to light, from doubts to grace. It finds you ruined, and it delivers you into his favor. It is a bridge. and it testifies that the work is ceased. It doesn't take you halfway over. That'd be bad to go halfway over the New River Gorge Bridge and then drop off the end of the bridge. That's how another gospel is. It doesn't take you all the way. It leaves a little bit for you to do. This bow reaches all the way over. It's God's bow. So it's a half circle. It's also a weapon of war. Now, most people know what a bow is. A bow and an arrow. You take a bow and draw it back, and you can shoot an arrow with it. But this bow has no arrow. It is an empty bow. And notice this bow is not pointed toward earth, but it's pointed toward heaven. And the arrow, the instrument of judgment, has already been shot. It's an empty bow. The justice of God was shot into the heart of God's Son. And the bow is empty. That's mercy. That's mercy. It is a token of God's grace toward us in His Son. There is no threat. No threat in an empty bow. Only peace. Can you imagine when Noah saw the bow? Now, this is what God's telling Noah. When you see the bow, which is empty, there's no arrows, and it's not pointed toward earth, it's pointed toward heaven, and it's empty. It's a symbol that justice has been satisfied. Peace and mercy. And this is good news of the gospel. It's unconditional. And God gave a token. People still see it. Most everybody see it and have no idea what it means. Most everybody's probably, if they've ever read the Bible at any time, they've read this story of Noah and the ark and the rainbow. They know it's a symbol of God's faithfulness. But they don't understand it. Understand it. People have a misconception of who God is. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. And the only way God can be gracious is His justice has been satisfied. No other way. The arrow has been shot. It was shot into the heart of Almighty God, into His Son. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. And because of that, because the storm has already passed, because they've already come through the flood, God's judgment and justice has been perfectly satisfied. Now God can show mercy. And God says, Noah, I'm going to establish my covenant with you. This covenant of peace. Isaiah 54:9, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so I have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But watch this. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Mercy. Covenant of peace. Something else about this bow, its colors declare the glory of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, it describes there's a rainbow around the throne. Revelation 10:1, it talks about our Lord. It says there's a rainbow upon His head that displays His glory. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And nothing in the heavens does this so much as the rainbow. And you know where God's people see God's glory? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's His glory. God gives the light of the knowledge of His glory in His Son's face. And this light is pictured by the rainbow. Because when you see the rainbow, what is it you are looking at exactly? What is it you see when you see a rainbow? Well, first, there's three primary colors. And every other color is made from these three primary colors. These primary colors are red, blue, and yellow. And as I've read somewhere the other day, it says, the thicker the cloud, the brighter the colors. You know, sometimes you barely can see just part of the rainbow. But I've seen it sometimes, and it was so brilliant and so bright. That's His glory. The thicker the cloud. It always speaks about Christ. He's coming in the clouds. He came down on the Mount of Sinai in the cloud. The cloud abode upon the mercy seat. It has something to do with God's glory, God's beauty, God's excellency, God's character. Listen, these colors come from rays of light as they shine upon the rain in the cloud. All the glory of God is displayed in those three colors. All the glory of God is displayed in the Trinity of His sacred person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three persons of the Godhead are at work, and the glories of the triune God are displayed in the covenant of grace in this rainbow. This rainbow around the throne, as God looks at His people, as God looks at them in grace, how does He look at them? Through the rainbow. There's a rainbow around the throne. It's not a throne of justice. Let us come boldly into the throne of what? Grace. Why grace? There's a rainbow. It's a token of what? When Noah saw the rainbow, it didn't mean, okay, God's going to judge you again. God's going to show mercy. And how can God show mercy? The Father chose before the world was ever made. The Son came and redeemed those people, and the Spirit of God calls those sinners to Himself. And they all work, and God's glory is displayed. The rainbow is of various colors, and it fitly expresses the various promises and the blessings in the covenant of grace. When David was getting ready to die, he said, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. It is sure, it is ordered in all things, and this is all my hope. And this rainbow is put in the sky for everybody to see. Isn't that amazing? God put it there. He put it in such a way everybody can see it. But as I got to thinking about the rainbow, now the rainbow's not seen all the time. And it's not seen from everywhere. You cannot see the bow before the storm. You cannot see the bow in the midst of the storm. You see the bow after the storm, in the passing cloud. All judgment is past. His glory. You see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John said, we beheld His glory. His glory. Oh, if God ever allows you to see His glory. His glory. Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. Look at everything Moses saw. You'd have thought Moses would have saw His glory. He seen them bring the children of Israel through the Red Sea. God said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful, and whom I will, I'll show compassion. God's glory is in His compassion. God's glory is in His grace. At times it seems that God hides His glory in the cloud. People may know the facts about His death, the facts about His burial and His resurrection, and never see His glory. They talk about God, they talk about Christ, and they never saw His glory. I want to see His glory. The world knows that He saves, but they don't know how He saves. How does God save? He honors His glory. And He does it because of that everlasting covenant. God has a people He's going to save, and He's going to save them. And everyone that He saves brings glory to His name. Who gets the glory? He does. Why are you spared, Noah? I tell you why. Grace. Why is anybody spared? Grace. Grace. This world is in a fog. When it comes to the grace and the things of God, they have no idea. The reason the bow is put in the sky is that everyone can see. God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know how you'll see His glory? In the gospel. The gospel tells you how that God can be just and justify the ungodly.
Is anyone interested in mercy? Then look to the bow. We don't preach like we feel that only the non-elect or any one of the non-elect are going to be saved.
God's going to save all His people. We preach the gospel to every creature. Look to the rainbow. What does that say? God's merciful. Do you need mercy? Look to Him. Do you need grace? Look to Him.
If you need mercy, look to God's rainbow. Look to Christ and find mercy in Him. That's the only place it's found. Our Lord said, John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And the rainbow also appears when one part of the sky is clear. Mercy remembered in the midst of wrath. Do you see God's bow in the sky? Are you ever fearful when the clouds begin to form and you say, well, I guess God's going to get me? You know, some people live their whole life in fear. And I know that we're sinners and we deserve to perish, but God's going to get you. God's going to get you. God had rather save than damn. God sends the gospel. God sends the gospel. He said that the gospel may be preached in all the world. And the gospel doesn't tell you what you can do. The gospel doesn't say, well, now, if you'll let God do something, it's all in God's hands. If God ever does you anything, it's grace and mercy. The sun may be gone for a while. The thunder is deafening and startling. You want to run and hide. If you are in Christ, you're already hidden. You don't need to seek shelter. You already have it. Now, that's good news. That's good news. You have the promise of God. God graciously reminds us of His covenant when we see the bow that His justice is spent. And there is, therefore, no condemnation. Did you hear that? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And if He gave us those things, shall He not freely give us all things? The judgment fell upon the ark, and there won't be another one. Now listen. In closing, I pray that God will enable you to behold His rainbow, our Lord Jesus Christ, and realize that judgment is past, and now He can and does show mercy to unworthy sinners. Are you a sinner in need of mercy? Look to Him and rejoice. And He puts the bow as a token of His grace. May God use this message to speak to your heart.